Okay, this is not to Pete and Lisa. You can't answer, okay? Because we studied it a little bit last night. The goal of a believer isn't salvation. The goal of a believer is sanctification. So the question is, who in all of our experiences is the closest to sanctification from everybody you know and since we've been in existence? You can't.
I know.
What?
Is that Michael, what's his name? Michael what? Scruggs? His daughter had that.
That's right. Shannon.
The disease, Shannon.
And the closest one now to what the goal of a believer is Orlando, Lalo. Now that doesn't seem like a very nice goal for good Christian people, but it's what sanctification is, the closest thing we know about to sanctification. Does anybody want to discuss that?
I just have a different view of what sanctification is.
Well, that's why we're discussing it. So what is your view?
Sanctification is essentially being set apart for service to God. And you're sanctified as a believer when you deny self, pick up the cross, get baptized, whatever. You're not perfect, I guess you'd say, because no one ever is. But that doesn't, God can use
Listen.
Anybody.
Except you be born again and become as this little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The issue of the little child is you've lost self-awareness. You do nothing and you're doing nothing that brings you into the picture. Now, who's the closest? That's the real meaning of sanctification in that scripture. Except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. Let's look at that, Matthew 18. Verse 3. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's really what abandon yourself means. It means to abandon yourself. To give no thought for anything about you or yours. Complete and total abandonment. The loss of self-consciousness. That seems impossible, so we create all kinds of other ideas.
It would also be a total loss or divorce of worry and judgment instead of this innocence thing.
Well, it's without self-awareness.
You're looking at, we're all adults. I guess we're all adults. I struggle with give no thought at times of needs.
Well, that's
give no worry, give no judgment, give no angst, give no emotional analysis to things. Which is,
let's look at them. Hebrews 10.
I wish I do too much of it.
Verse
Well, let's start in. Let's start in now. Let's start in verse 1 of chapter 10 of Hebrews. For the law having a shadow or a pattern of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers them thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have had no more consciousness of sins? But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me, or prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are all offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, and he take away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, enduring oft times the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by, we said all that to say this, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering he hath perfected, has perfected forever them that are sanctified. So who is sanctified? The empty vessel is what sanctification is, with no awareness of self. Except you be converted and become as little children, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. It's the same innocence that the fall took away. Now somehow, by some means, and the only way that somehow and some means can be is repentance. That every time there is something less than sanctification in our being, we confess it as sin. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So it seems to me we have to understand what sanctification means. We can give all kinds of our own definitions, but the scripture that unless you be converted and become as a little child gives us the definition. Loss of self-awareness. No thought for tomorrow. No thought about you. This is what the very beginning means when it says, you know, the first thing he said, abandon yourself. It's all aspects of self-awareness are abandoned. And everything, and the whole mystery of perfection is slowly but surely, in some cases rapidly, losing the capacity for self-awareness. Now that's what sanctification really means. That's not taught in churches. But if you tie these two scriptures together, you can come with no other definition of sanctification. Except you be converted and become as this little child, or these little children, before, and these are he's talking about the little children and before the terrible twos.
So does sanctify mean to make holy or to make pure? Or is that part of it? that we're only pure, we're only holy.
Well, we're not. He is. And so any thought about us has to go.
But we're only pure and holy when we are
dead.
Dead.
How does 10, verse 10, weigh in? By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Well, you are sanctified if you are sanctified. If the body of his, if his body is perfected in you, is manifest, then that's true.
So we're sanctified by what he has done, not what we do.
Gary, we always go through this. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Wherever the preaching of the cross comes against is everything about you. You are dead. And if you're not dead because it says so, you're dead when you're dead. When you lose self-consciousness. There's no more you in the picture. If the other were true, then everybody in the universe would be sanctified because of the one offering. No. Just because you put Jesus' name on you doesn't make you sanctified. You're sanctified when you're sanctified. And the point of believing that everything is finished, everything is done, and there's no more need for consciousness of you in any way, that's the goal. That's what sanctification is. You lose consciousness of self. Otherwise, you've got to see if Christ, this spirit of mystery, the seed, if you will, of Christ is in all men, has been since Pentecost. But this comes only true when you are dead. You're not dead because it says you're dead. You're dead when you're dead. And any place where you're not dead has to be confessed as pure sin. It's not what you do is sin any longer, it's who you are is sin.
I guess I hear the way I hear you saying it. Sanctification is an unattainable goal for a believer because you can never say you're perfect, you can never say you've arrived, you can never say you're sanctified. According to what you're saying, because you can't be.
But you never stop moving in that direction.
I just see it differently. I see that you're sanctified, set apart for the testing and proving of Christ in you.
And the end result is what?
That you are sanctified in the process and at the end of the process.
Well,
you're fully tested at the end of the process, and maybe you could say, then I'm dead, or I'm as a little child, or whatever. But what if what you're saying is sanctification, and that's the end, which can never be attained, what do you call the process? What are you while it's happening?
You're a believer.
But you're set apart for this testing.
If you're set apart, if you agree to be set apart.
Of course you, well, that's a given. We wouldn't be in this room if that hadn't taken place.
Well, I mean, that's why all the scriptures are about, you know, about if any man gives importance to the world, the Son of God is not in it. But all the other ones, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. It's all be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind, all it doesn't have, it's you don't become better. You lose the capacity to think about it because you see that is what sin is. I mean, it's
almost like what you said earlier, that salvation is what happens in a child or a teenager.
It's the very beginning.
And the redemption process is almost a lifetime, and we redeem, we rebel, redeem, rebel, redeem, rebel, and that seems to be a lifetime position, if you want to call that. And maybe, possibly, at the end of the rainbow, some of us will finally totally accept our death 100%, and sanctification is for the few.
Well, that's not our business. Our business is to be true to what we see in the scriptures. Our business has no place for our opinions. We search the scriptures to see whether the things be true. Now, again, as I've said 1,000 times, a believer, that's what salvation is a believer. You become a believer, and then there are all the stages of believer according to scriptures. Is it still a child? But he's still in the world. He's a child. No matter how many years he's been a believer, if he's still in the world, he's a child. And then he goes through the going from Egypt or the world to the promised land is called, that's going through what? What did they go through? After the first baptism, what did they go through? They were in the wilderness. They were tested in the wilderness. Only two that came out of Egypt ended up in the promised land. Then the young adults are those that are in the promised land, but not yet on the surface. But they are beginning to overcome the evil one. And finally, you're on the mercy seat when you overcome the evil one, which is you. Now, I'm not saying, and believe me, every aspect of everyone that says they're, that believes, is they're not, I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about what happens from God's perspective. He wants, I mean, at your death, physical death, you then will be sanctified as a believer. But as a believer, where you fit in the body of Christ depends on where you are in that trek. Let's go there. Go to 1 John, 2nd chapter. Verse 12.
1 John 1 or?
1 John chapter 2. Verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sin are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's all you know. You believe in God, that your sins are forgiven. And that's a mind-bending, important place. But it's not the end. It's not sanctification from the taking place in time and space. What's next? And then he goes, no, it goes from here. It goes from the child to the father and back to the young man. But it goes up and down the same way as the psalm of ascent. Go up and down. Because we go in and out of this mystery as often as, you understand what I'm saying. And then I write into you fathers. The fathers are the ones that are on the mercy seat. Because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write into you young adults. You're in the promised land, but not in the mercy seat. Or young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Then I write unto you again, little children, because you've known the Father. That's all you know. Then finally, I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known him, or been with him, from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you overcome the wicked one, or the evil one. So those are the four places. You're still in, one is still in the world, but his sin is forgiven. The other is in the wilderness, But and when you're in the wilderness, it's not physicality, it's what's happened here. When you're in the wilderness, you don't even know if you believe in God hardly anymore. But you knew you once believed in God. And it brought into young adults because you've entered the promised land and you've overcome the evil one, but you're not yet on the mercy seat. There has to be a little more testing. And then finally I brought into you fathers because you've been with him from the beginning on the mercy seat. Now that's, you can't deny, that's the track that we all have to go on. But none of them are unimportant. And probably from our standpoint, none of them have any higher status than any other. I mean, I'm talking about from God's standpoint. But from God's standpoint, this is what he needs to so that the bride of Christ could be manifest. And it's those stages.
Now, aren't those who are within this realm sanctified?
Not really. Because they're still, partly, they're still in the world in one place, but their sin is forgiven. The goal of sanctification is what I said, becoming as that little child without self-awareness. But it's not our business to say who is sanctified, quote-unquote, in the end, or who isn't. Because all of us have gone through a part of the time when we lost self-awareness. I know I certainly did when at my conversion. But it quickly came back again. So there are times when every one of us are in the position on the mercy seat because we've lost self-awareness. Sometimes it happens in songs. With me, it happens when I hear Jackie singing the Psalm 117. I just lose it. And it happens many other times too, and I'm sure it does to all of you. It's still your believer. And times you're sanctified, times you're in the wilderness, times we go through all those stages. But from God's perspective, we have to believe that the end result is what our goal is, the loss of self-consciousness. Otherwise, there'll never be repentance. You'll stay in one place. Then the Holy Spirit's job is to bring you to him. The preacher's job is to preach the cross.
Yeah.
But you can't just say that you're there because it says you're there. It's what's going on in you that has to be manifest. Because if it's not, then again, there's never repentance. But once you know something is sin, and you continue in sin, then grace has got a problem. The vehicle by which this happens is the renewal of our mind. Be ye transfigured by the renewal of your mind. And the renewal of your mind is so you stop giving breath to things in the world. And then hopefully you can continue with him in his test. No longer in your test. That was happened at baptism. That's, you're buried. You're dead and buried. And let's pray this Pentecost that the death will not allow the evil one to resurrect himself again. But he will as long as you give him place. Now this is a track we're all on. To go from the world to the mercy seat. That's the beginning is in the world, the end is on the mercy seat. Is it any of our business? Who's where? Well, it's your business. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Because if you're not there, you say, Father, forgive me. I read this thing, I read it somewhere, I can't even remember where right now, but that most of us have made God like our valet. We every time we need something, we might give them a tip every once in a while, but most of the time we ask him to do stuff. He's like your valet parking your car. Well, that's not what God wants.
He's almost more like a crisis manager.
I don't know what you just said.
Crisis manager in our life.
Anyhow, consider these things, but consider them carefully. Lose opinions and have the scriptures as your only guide. But you have to take those two positions. The one in Matthew 18, except you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the other is this one we've studied this morning: by one offering you're sanctified forever. Which one is? They can't both be true in the same place. But the abundance of scriptures shows that by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. There's no doubt. But how a sanctification happens, there has to be a component where you're in agreement, where you're willing and always willing to repent of whatever it is that you're doing. If you haven't become as that little child, the abandonment of self. I'm not saying you're not saved or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what the goal is. The goal of sanctification is the total abandonment of yourself. And that can only happen when you're no longer you have no desire to be conformed to any part of the world, and that nothing in the world gives you sustenance or satisfaction. So what I'm saying to you is, you don't have to worry about it, but what you have to be willing to do is, if you have to be willing to repent whenever you see that you're not on the track, you've left the narrow way. If you've left the narrow way, the only answer is get back on it, and that can only happen by repentance. And the real meaning of repentance is to see you're dead. If you don't see you're dead, you can start repenting some, but. And all the fires of hell will come against this. And especially the evil one will come against this. And the evil one is you, the instead of Christ. The instead of Christ who enjoys being the king in your temple. You'll find every possible way to justify it. Amen? All right, take it, big guy.